Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
For the past 30, 40 years or so, the primary thrust of population control in free-roaming dogs has been perceived as castration by those in developed nations. However, worldwide, surgical castration isn't an option. It requires sterile technique, it requires general anesthesia. Because of this, the hunt has always been on for some way to safely and inexpensively neuter those males. Whoever found a drug that would do this would pretty well have an assured market worldwide. The problem with this approach is a function of the problem-oriented method of science. Relative to free-roaming dog populations, yes, they can transmit some diseases and some parasites. But these are not stray dogs, former pets. These are dogs who either are from long lines of free-roaming animals, or they dwell in that gray area somewhere between wild and domestication. They don't belong to anyone, they're there. And one of the things that they do in many parts of the world is create a barrier between the wild animal population and the human population. By being there, they protect those people from wild animals carrying multiple diseases, including rabies. And yes, just as in the case of Old Yeller, they get bitten, and they may become rabid, and if they do, they will be killed, or they will die. Hence the logic behind using a trap, neuter, and release program, which should really be called a trap, neuter, vaccinate, and release program, similar to that used for cats in this country. Contrary to what happens in the laboratory, or maybe in a shelter, the average free-roaming dog of long duration is not that easy to handle. The forms of chemical sterilization involve the animal standing still long enough for a veterinarian or a technician to inject a chemical substance slowly and very carefully into one of the dog's testicles. I can think of a lot more fully domesticated, purebred male dogs who wouldn't tolerate that than who would. So right away we've got a restraint problem. The other thing about free-roaming dog population treatment, it's like herd health. You look at the overall picture, you know it's not going to work in some. You know, some may develop problems that you didn't anticipate or negative reactions to the drug that cost them their lives. It matters in terms of how one thinks about animals, but statistically, it doesn't matter. Another variable that often isn't considered is that in general, in the wild animal population, only about 50% of the males will reproduce to begin with. So unless one is able to surgically or chemically sterilize the entire male population in a given area, it may not have that much effect on the size of the free-roaming dog population. Oh, there may initially be enough of a dip to support the careers of certain people, including politicians, but in the long run, it will go back up to where it was before. As far as the positive behavioral effects of sterilization, be it surgical or chemical, I wouldn't bet the ranch on it. I imagine everyone who does canine behavioral work, who sees a lot of aggressive dogs, knows not having testicles is no guarantee that that dog won't be aggressive. This also is the finding of a long-term study of Zuterin, the first chemical sterilizing agent that was used. These were free-roaming dogs in Chile, fitted with GPS collars and tracked over an extended period of time. These included their behaviors. They discovered that the ones who had had the treatment were more aggressive toward other dogs than the intact dogs were. As far as using chemical sterilization on pediatric animals, I hope, but I haven't read anything to confirm this, that this is an absolute non-starter in those animals who will be placed in companion animal settings. To me, that is physiologically, behaviorally, morally, and ethically highly problematic to do that to those animals and to do that to the people who adopt them. There are too many unknowns. Health unknowns and behavioral unknowns. So it's a messy situation. It's a situation that doesn't lend itself to a problem-oriented approach. It requires a holistic approach, an ecological approach. This is one situation where not doing so truly can come back to bite us.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.